This is G'day World 279, where my guest is Jack Marks. Now, Jack was a blogger for Fairfax, Australian, very large Australian media company. I like to call them Fairyfax. And he got sacked yesterday for writing a satirical blog post about our federal opposition leader, Kevin Rudd's visit to a strip club. And so I got Jack on the phone this morning. We had a quick chat, short show, quick chat about the circumstances surrounding his dismissal from Fairfax. Hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
We have a legacy of freedom and privilege, which has been won by hard struggle, hasn't been given by from above. It's been won, but we have it, and we can use that to help people who are suffering seriously if we try.
Well, the singularity is a future time which will be profoundly transformative, where the machine intelligence we're creating will be billions of times more powerful than our own biological intelligence.
Well, I'll ask you, what's next for Robert Scoble? What do you think you're going to be doing 3-4 years from now?
Oh, geez. Well, hopefully we'll have a successful launch of Longhorn. I want to stick around with Microsoft for at least 4 more years.
Around what I call the because effect rather than the with effect. In other words, I can make more money because of my blog than with
anything
my blog.
Anything of this magnitude only happens because enormous numbers of people want it to happen and are willing to commit time and energy and money.
Hello.
G'day, Jack. Cameron Riley from the Podcast Network. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for agreeing to have a chat to us.
No worries.
Mate, I guess we all were slightly shocked and amused by the news yesterday. Exactly what happened? How did they bring it to your attention, your bosses at Fairfax?
Well, it was the classic your dropped email from the editor-in-chief's PA.
Oh, the PA did it. Oh, that's classy.
Yeah, and it was my birthday as well. Not that any of them would have known, but I got the email when I returned from lunch with my parents who'd travelled down from Newcastle. So I think they were more horrified than I was, but yeah, you know, no one likes to be bulleted that way.
Now this was Mike Van Niekerk's PA.
Yeah.
Now Mike and I have had many a run-in over the last couple of years, so I know Mike at least on an informal basis.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, he's pretty fiery. But now, he suggested in the news.com.au article that it was just the latest in a long line of indiscretions, which is a nice way of saying that you're a bit of a bad sort, but I can't go into the details.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me that he wouldn't want to go into the details because there aren't any. if indeed I have been indiscreet where he's concerned, that wouldn't surprise me and wouldn't bug me. But the trick is, when you're running any sort of business, I guess, is if you do think an employee is guilty of transgressions of any sort, you let them know. There's not really any point in just soldiering on with an anxious bug in your heart about someone who's in your employ. You've really got to let them know that they're not doing their job correctly, or that you want them to pull their head in or something. And over the course of the 18 months or so that I've been doing the Daily Truth, I haven't heard from Mike Van Niekerk about a single indiscretion. There was an incident which he brought up on the phone yesterday regarding a post I did about where I suggested that Israel be disbanded and its population moved to Tasmania to solve the Middle East problem. That caused a bit of a ruckus. But that was in June 2006, and the fact that he had to go all the way back there in his phone call yesterday to find an indiscretion shows how many there have been since then. You know, I don't have a problem with the fact that they've dumped the blog, truly. Anyone who's been reading it for its entirety might have noticed that in the last 6 months or so, I haven't been quite as enthusiastic about it as I was at the start. You know, with a daily blog, you tend to say everything you've got to say pretty quickly. So I don't really have a problem with them letting it go. I don't even have a problem with people who think it was running too close to the wire. But the thing is, I wasn't informed of the fact that this was an anxiety that was, you know, at all serious with regards to management until I got the email yesterday saying you're out of here.
So they hadn't sat you down and given you three formal warnings or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. There wasn't even one. You know, I thought it was understood that the nature of the blog was to be a bit tetchy and satirical and you know, always running close to danger. If anyone had got in contact with me and said, look, Jack, it's getting a bit out of hand, it's time to pull your head in, I most certainly would have taken note, might have fought my case, but, you know, the fact is that never happened.
You actually won an award, according to news.com.au's article here, a Walkley Award, nonetheless, for an article you wrote last year. I was Russell Crowe's stooge.
Well, that's the other interesting thing, is that, you know, Mike said to me when he finally called me yesterday afternoon after repeated requests from me that someone please talk to me about why I'd been given the bullet. That, you know, he'd been dissatisfied with my blog for, you know, since that June 2006 article about Jews in Tasmania. And I thought that was interesting because he sat next to me at the Walkley Awards and patted me on the back when I won it. So if he'd had any grievances, one would have thought that would have been an unusual moment for him.
So let's read between the lines. What do you think's really going on, Jack?
Well, the offending post was about a satirical piece imagining what happened in the New York strip club when Kevin Rudd visited back in 2003. Like most other things that I do along those lines, it was, it had the possibility of causing some outrage with regards to, you know, as far as Kevin Rudd's fans might have been concerned, and certainly Kevin Rudd and his office himself. I don't know whether you can read too much into it, but it strikes me as interesting that that's the one that caused so much trouble. Someone I was reading on the internet last night made the point that if I'd written something about John Howard having sex with a goat, I probably would have won another Walkley. But, you know, the leanings of this particular news organisation being that they are, or that they supposedly are, it's not surprising what happened. I don't know that you can read too much into that. Maybe, you know, Mike is quite right that it's the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, what we're just dealing with here is some pretty shoddy industrial work. You just, I haven't been wisened up to the fact that my blog was causing trouble, if it was.
Now, for people who haven't read the post that got you sacked, we'll have it linked up on the website. But essentially, you started off by saying, well, you know, Kevin Rudd has no recollection of the visit he made to the Gentleman's Club in New York. Fortunately for everyone, I've visited such establishments many times myself, and thus I believe I'll be more than capable of filling in the blanks with a few educated guesses. And the rest of the post was very humorous. You were sort of detailing the typical visit to a strip club and suggesting right. some of the things that may have happened to the opposition leader while he was there. I mean, you never said...
Yep.
As far
well, they
as I
say
can
a
tell.
Satirist should never sort of explain his... his satire or his purpose, but I mean, obviously the thing that, you know, I'm not particularly concerned about Kevin Rudd going to a strip joint, but it always bugs me whenever I hear anyone saying I cannot recollect that just doesn't wash with me. So, you know, I just thought, well, you know, if you can't recollect, allow me to, you know. So the point of the piece was obviously, you know, start recollecting, and little sort of exposés like this won't appear. I would have thought that was obvious too. And, you know, like you say, I sort of couched it front and back by saying, you know, this is something straight out of, you know, the mercurial imaginings in my own head. It's got nothing to do with reality, but being that Kevin Rudd can't remember, this is the only document we've got.
And in the story, there's a quasi lap dance that may have occurred, but there was nothing in the writing that was particularly obscene or not suitable for an open website, I thought.
Well, you know, here we get down now to the question of, you know, blogs on newspapers. I mean, for me, they're kind of mongoose and cobra. For a blog to be on a newspaper, it has to be doing something that the newspaper is not. That's what I always thought.
Otherwise, it's just a column, right?
Whenever I sat down to write a piece, you know, sometimes I just wrote something which would have stood alone as a column in the print version of the paper, but, you know, at other times it was always heavy on me to think, okay, what can we do with this space here that the newspaper can't? You know, what can this blog offer that makes it a blog rather than just an arm of the newspaper? So a lot of the times the thing to do there is be a bit... be a bit dangerous, I suppose, or be a bit sloppy or foolish, and you know, of course, when you do that, you know, a lot of people see it linked to the paper and accuse you of bringing the reputation of this great news organ down. So I don't know, it's a tricky one. I don't really know that blogs should be attached to newspapers and call themselves blogs. What is the point? The cynical part of me suspects that newspapers like blogs because it gives them the right to be able to tell the people they're employing to do them that they're not going to pay them very much. Because look at all these other people out there in the blogosphere doing their blogs for nothing. You know what I mean? So rather than having to employ journalists to actually control things, they sort of give people a nod for a few bucks to engage their hobby attached to the newspaper. If that's the difference between a blog and a column, then who wants to know about it?
And have you got your own blog, Jack, where we can keep up to date with what happens next?
No. No, I'm afraid that won't be happening, at least for a good while. I mean, I've enjoyed some days, you know, when I'd get into it, I thought, you know, I had the best job in journalism, being able to write this stuff, publish it as is, and engage with the readership afterwards. But it is a drain, and it's certainly no fun being told to fuck off every 5 minutes, which is, you know, what happens when you open the gates to the readers who've been frustrated by this newspaper for, you know, the last 50 years. So, you know, I won't miss blogging for a moment.
And what about the political leanings of the Age? You know, with the revelations about Rudd's trip to the strip club hitting the Murdoch papers over the weekend, it seems to be fairly obvious that, if nothing else, it's a shot across the bow, the ALP's bow by Murdoch. Do you think Fairfax being overly sensitive to your blog post is an indication that they're throwing their weight behind the ALP?
Well, you know, you say things like that and people immediately accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist, and that's fair enough. But what people don't understand is it comes down to just a very purely human element a lot of the times. Like, I think The Sydney arm of Fairfax, SMH, gets a bad rap for being lopsided. I think they generally try to be balanced, but it comes down to, you know, personalities involved. You know, I don't know who Kevin Rudd is mates with in the Fairfax organisation, but the chance is good that, you know, on Saturday night he was having dinner with such and such and his wife. You know, who the hell knows? And it just, you know, I mean, the whole story about what happened in New York is proof positive of this. You know, there he was out for a night on the town with Cole Allen, the editor of the New York Post. I mean, why, of all people in New York, is he kicking his heels up with a newspaper editor? That tells you something. You know, these people sort of formulate allegiances in within journalism, and they stick. So I'm certainly not qualified and educated enough about the matter to sort of talk about whose allegiances were being stood on in Fairfax, if any. But, you know, I mean, it does a bit tough like that.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, any job offers on the horizon yet?
No, not really. I'm just going to wander about behaving as daffy as I please for a little while. It's nice to take a holiday.
All right, well, congratulations on at least making the news rather than just writing the news, man. And
yeah, that's always an interesting turnaround.
I mean, I know a lot of people, including myself, that have gotten into trouble with employers over the last 4 or 5 years for blog posts that they've written. So you join a highly esteemed but small group of people. We welcome you to our ranks, Jack Marks.
Well, it's, you know, just to close off there on that point, you know, it's inescapable. It's when you're writing direct to print, you know, in newspapers and magazines, there are all sorts of buffers to stop, you know, the unworthy piece from appearing. But, you know, with blogs, you're going straight to the read, which is really is the big plus of it. But, you know, something like this has got to come along always if your blog is any good. The only thing that's disappointing about this is, you know, that they didn't spank my ass good and solidly and tell me not to do it again, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems obvious to me that this was an overreaction from the Post. And if Mike Van Nieuwkerk's suggestion that this was just the last in a long string of offences, this seems to be their typical corporate line now. I've a friend of mine who was a blogger at Telstra and got sacked coincidentally the day after he wrote a somewhat critical blog post about Telstra. And, you know, the Telstra execs, even as late as last week, were saying to me, this happened 6 months ago, but last week they were saying, oh, it's completely preposterous to suggest that he was sacked. There was a long line of things that had come before that. But when you ask them to name those, they won't. It just seems to be the standard line now for corporate execs when they want to get rid of someone.
Well, I mean, it gives me the shits because, you know, I didn't come out, you know, calling Mike Van Nieuwkerk a lying sack of shit or anything. And yet, you know, he tells news.com that I'm indiscreet and basically a bad employee. Someone ought to shove his bicycle up his ass for that, and maybe I'm the one to do it.
All right, well, let me know when that's going to happen. I'll be with the video camera. No, so can't say that's kind of Alan Jones inciting violence, really, isn't it? That's I'll get called up by the tribunal if I say that. No, Jack, do not do that. That's the wrong approach. Live and let live.
Make sure today, tonight's there if it happens.
Kiss him on the other cheek. Yeah, do that. All right, mate. Well, yeah, keep in touch, man, and let us know if there's anything else we can do to correct the story for the public record, mate.
I surely will.
Good on you, mate. Have a good day.
See you.